This is In the News for February 9th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin with KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. The first story today is from The Independent in the United Kingdom. Israel plans to build Museum of Tolerance on Muslim graves. This is written by Donald McIntyre in Jerusalem, dated today. Skeletons are being removed from the site of an ancient Muslim cemetery in Jerusalem to make way for a $150 million quote-unquote Museum of Tolerance being built for the Los Angeles-based Simon Wiesenthal Center. Palestinians have launched a legal battle to stop the work at what was the city's main Muslim cemetery. The work is to prepare for the construction of a museum which seeks the promotion of, quote, unity and respect among Jews and between people of all faiths, end quote. Israeli archaeologists and developers have continued excavating the remains of people buried at the site, which was a cemetery for at least 1,000 years, despite a temporary ban on work granted by the Islamic Court, a division of Israel's justice system. Police have been taking legal advice on whether the order is legally binding. The Israeli High Court is to hear a separate case brought by the Al-Aqsa Association of the Islamic Movement in Israel next week. The project, which a spokesman said had been conceived in partnership with the Jerusalem municipality and the Israeli government, was launched at a ceremony in 2004 by a cast of dignitaries ranging from Ehud Olmert, who is currently the acting prime minister, to the governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. The Israeli branch of the Simon Wiesenthal Center declined to comment yesterday and has had no role in the project. Jurgam Saif, the lawyer who brought the Islamic Court petition on behalf of three Palestinian families, Al-Dajani, Nusbaya, and Bader El-Zain, all of which have members buried at the cemetery, said, quote, "It's unbelievable, it's immoral. You cannot build a museum of tolerance on the graves of other people. Imagine this kind of thing in the United States or England. And this is the Middle East where events are sensitive. If this goes ahead in this way, it is going to cause the opposite thing to tolerance," end quote. Mr. Saif said he had written to the Israeli state attorney, Menachem Masuz, seeking police enforcement of the original order. He said on a visit to the site, he had entered 3 out of 5 tents where excavations were being carried out. He said, quote, "I was shocked to see open graves and tens of whole skeletons there," end quote. Ikram Asabri, the Mufti of Jerusalem, demanded a halt to the excavations and said the Muslim religious authorities had not been consulted on the dig, saying that the cemetery was in use for 15 centuries and that the friends of the Prophet Muhammad were buried there. The Mufti declared, quote, "There should be a complete cessation of work in the cemetery because it is sacred for Muslims," end quote. Under Israel's quote-unquote absentee property law, the cemetery was taken over by the custodian of absentee property after the 1948 war. Mr. Saif said the custodian had no right to sell the cemetery to the Jerusalem municipality in 1992. While parties to the work are resting part of their case on what they say was an 1894 ruling by the then Sharia court that the sanctity of a cemetery could be lifted, Mr. Sabri said that ruling meant that only a Muslim could make such a decision. Omar Goaz, a spokeswoman for the Israeli Antiquities Authority, which is carrying out the excavations, said it was common in Jerusalem to build on cemeteries, adding that in such cases the bones were reburied, she said. She also said, quote, "Israel is more crowded with ancient artifacts than any other country in the world. If we didn't build on former cemeteries, we would never build," end quote. That again is from The Independent UK, written by Donald McIntyre. Next up from the New Standard News at newstandardnews.net. This is written by the New Standard staff, "Feds to fine protesters for Gitmo March." This is dated February 9th. The Treasury Department is seeking to punish a religious group that marched outside the secretive Guantanamo Bay prison complex in protest of the conditions endured there by prisoners in the so-called War on Terror. Members of the Christian anti-war group Witness to Torture could face up to 10 years in prison and $250,000 in fines for breaking the United States' long-standing ban on travel to Cuba. In a statement yesterday, Witness to Torture said that it would not cooperate with the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, request for information related to the December demonstration. The organization sent its reply through the Center for Constitutional Rights, a nonprofit legal group. 7 of the 24 protesters have received OFAC notices so far. According to members of the group who participated in the protest on December 11th, they arrived at the U.S.-run Guantanamo Bay detention complex with plans to observe the prisoners' confinement conditions firsthand. After being turned away, as expected, they set up camp a few miles from the border between Cuba and the U.S. military base, where the group fasted for 4 days and continued attempts to access the camp. The U.S. government admits to holding around 500 men plucked from around the world at the base. The military has held the captives without trial and nearly incommunicado with severely restricted access even to legal counsel. Human rights organizations in the military have reported suicide attempts and hunger strikes among the prisoners. Due to the more than 40-year-old trade embargo with Cuba, U.S. citizens are barred from traveling freely to the nation. The OFAC monitors violations of the ban and has broad authority to issue fines and other penalties. Like most government agencies involved in legal enforcement, OFAC does not discuss open cases, and it has not released any document related to the Guantanamo protest. Neither has it responded to Witness for Torture's letter, but the group said it is not waiting idly. Participant Frida Berrigan wrote recently in These Times, quote, "While we await notice from the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control, the agency responsible for violations of the ban on the travel to Cuba, we will not be idle. On March 1st, those of us who marched to Guantanamo are organizing an action in Washington, D.C. to make the prison and its victims visible to those who are responsible for the torture and abuse." Again, this is from the News Standard at newsstandardnews.net. And finally today, from High Country News, their latest issue, dated February 6, 2006. This is written by Brett Wilkerson. It's from their hotline section of their magazine and out of Montana. Judge orders litigating enviros to pony up. A federal judge is forcing environmentalists to back their challenge of a logging project with cold, hard cash. In November, U.S. District Judge Donald Malloy ordered a halt to logging on the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest outside of Butte after three environmental groups appealed the judge's earlier decision to allow the 2,600-acre timber harvest. Then, on December 20th, Malloy ordered the groups to post a $100,000 bond. Should the groups lose their appeal before the Ninth Circuit Court, the money would help compensate the Forest Service and a private contractor for losses due to the delay, such as decaying timber. The agency had requested a $400,000 bond. Ellen Engstedt, executive vice president of the Montana Wood Products Association, said, quote, "We have asked for this kind of accountability for years. 98% of these cases are not legitimate. These groups have nothing to lose," end quote. While bonds up to $10,000 aren't unusual, one of this side, quote, "certainly makes you gulp and think twice about the strength of your case," end quote. That's according to Andy Stahl, executive director of Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics. "The plaintiffs are being forced to risk bankruptcy just to get into court," says Michael Garrity, executive director of the Alliance for the Wild Rockies. His group and the other two, the Ecology Center and the Native Ecosystems Council, can't guarantee such a large bond, he says. They've asked Malloy to rescind or reduce it. Garrity said, quote, "If we were to put up all our assets and lose, we would be out of business immediately," end quote. Again, that's from High Country News, written by Brett Wilkerson. This has been In the News for February 9th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin of KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.